The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed.
Hello and good morning. Well, what did you make of day one of the presidential state visit to the UK? Were you bowled over by it, sir? What was your reaction? Text us, please, at 51551. And what a banquet last night. Over 160 people were dining in that hall in Windsor Castle. And Miriam Lord writes in the Irish Times that all the day lacked was the theme music from Neighbours. We're on it, Miriam. Love you, Elizabeth. Love you, Michael D. That's when good neighbours become good friends. Good night, Elizabeth. Good night, Michael D. And we're also wondering this morning, does the Queen have a future in stand-up?
2 years ago, London hosted the Olympic Games. And it took someone of Irish descent, Danny Boyle, to get me to jump from a helicopter.
Yes, that loud laugh, by the way, belongs to Irish Ambassador to the UK, Dan Mulhall. In other news, a Dutch TV journalist decided to do an interview with the local mayor on a boat. She regrets it now.
Wordt binnenkort het grootste paasevenement van Nederland georganiseerd. Seal Kampen. Burgemeester, wat is er nou zo bijzonder aan Seal Kampen?
Als je de mooiste...
Jongens, dat gaat niet goed. Deze kant op.
The good news is now the girl could swim, but the interesting part was when the mayor of that town in Holland decided to throw down his chain in an effort to assist her. Anyway, she arrived safely back in the boat a few minutes later. And I came across a great bit of rugby jargon in this morning's Irish Independent. Asked about his decision to play Jimmy Gopperth ahead of Ian Madigan in Sunday's dismal defeat to Toulon, Leinster coach Matt O'Connor said he has no issues managing the back end of a game, but we are just trying to grow the flip side. Grow the flip side. Ah, that explains everything, Matt. Why didn't you say so before now? Now, all this week, we've teamed up with timber product specialists and building materials provider Brooks and to celebrate the opening of their new outlet in Glasnevin. And to spruce up your garden, we are giving away a €1,000 Brooks voucher every day this week. And here's what you need to do to win today's €1,000 voucher. We have three clues for you to help establish a person, place or thing, the name of which has some link to a flower, plant or landscape. Just to give you an idea, Monday's answer was Abbey Leakes, ha ha ha, and yesterday's was Keith Wood. So remember, there are three clues and clue one may not give you the complete name. Now, this morning, clue number one is, part of this name is the first day of Lent. Part of this name is the first day of Lent. Remember now, it's a person, place or thing. Text us your answers to 51551 and normal conditions and terms apply. And we might be talking to you at the end of the show if you guess correctly. And you may be the recipient of that €1,000 Brooks voucher. Now, as I said, all eyes focused yesterday on that presidential visit to the UK and doing, I suppose, a bit of observing for us was Tina Kamarianis. Tina, you're very welcome this morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
And first of all, were you blown away by it all?
I was actually blown away. I didn't expect to be, but I thought the whole thing was absolutely great. Everybody looked so happy. There was a real feeling of peace and harmony, which we haven't seen over here for years and years. So, yeah, I think it's a really, really great thing, the four-day visit.
Mm, great pomp as well.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Jesus, they pulled out every stop, every carriage, every horse.
A lot of horses.
Yeah, a lot of horses. I was fascinated. All black horses with white feet, which, I thought it looked great.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think it was Eileen Dunne on the lunchtime TV news had to apologise for the noise in the background, but they were clearing the dirt, I presume.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was fascinated when they pulled into the quadrangle and there were all the little men with brushes, and I couldn't make up my mind whether it was to sweep the sand from the carriage tracks or the horse poop, which one it was. Anyway.
And the playing of the national anthem, that was a very poignant moment as well.
It was, and, you know, both national anthems anthems, the 90 flags lining the route, the Union Jack and the tricolour. I mean, this is something we've never had before. And a lot of good feeling. You know, I think everybody's sick and tired of what's gone on over the years. We understand it, but really, you know, time to move on.
Mm. What about the frocks?
The frocks were great. Louise Kennedy has really taken centre stage on this so far. I thought her pink crystal, pink pearl-studded silk coat and dress yesterday to go to the embassy and then on to Windsor.
Sabina's.
Yeah, it was absolutely breathtaking. It was beautiful.
Why was it breathtaking?
The pearl pink is a favourite of mine anyway. You know, it's a delicate colour. It looks great.
It's not the colour of your hair. That's a different sort of pink.
No, that's sort of magentary, crimson. I don't know what it is. Anyway, it's gone berserk, but it's looking good. But no, she looked great. And of course, the Queen turned up in beautiful powder blue outfits. So together standing on the stage, they looked really great. And I was fascinated to see the Queen and Michael D standing side by side, and they were the same height. And then Sabrina and Prince Philip were the same height.
Size. So it was very nice. The optics and the photographs.
Exactly. Yes.
But you were anxious. You suffered a bout of anxiety at one point during yesterday's proceedings.
I did. And you know how anxious I can get, John. I'll tell you what it was. It was when poor Sabina got out of the car outside the embassy, and what should have been a stately procession to the embassy's door turned into a mad hat grabbing and dash up the stairs. And of course, I think, you know, you have to think, when you're in the public eye, if you are in a position of high power or whatever, you're going to be on high podiums or the steps of aircraft. And dresses that are slightly above the knee, like when she was getting off the flight in London, I noticed, you know, all cameras were on Michael D., but right behind his ear was her knees. And, you know, when you're looking up all the time, I think maybe drop the hemline just a tad.
I see, for the next visit.
For the next visit. Or, you know, up on podiums, and same problem.
This was terrible for you as an etiquette expert to see this unfolding.
Well, no,
it?
I just felt sorry for her. I just thought, now, if I was in that place, mind you, she's got a good pair of pins. So it wasn't the horror show it might have been. But I think if it was me, I would have thought, oh, no, maybe not. Maybe I'll drop the
hemline. So you're saying drop the hemline?
I think just for flights and high stages, drop the hemline just slightly, just below the knee. So it's coming across the knee rather than...
Yes,
well,
indeed.
It wasn't exactly up the thigh, but you know what I mean?
In betweenies. And Tina, yes, and you mentioned when they were alighting from their car going into the Irish embassy, in London, that you were worried because the ambassador's wife had to pursue.
Yeah, well, she leapt forward. As I say, what should have been a stately procession ended in a melee where the ambassador's wife leapt forward to help her. And Sabina, of course, had to lift both hands above her head to grab the hat, which in turn lifted the hemline. So it all got terribly exciting for a few minutes. But anyway, that passed. And I sat waiting for Prince Charles and Camilla to arrive. And I thought, wait till they hit the dais and Dyckett Road. But no, everything went off brilliantly. Yeah. They were in a bit of a tent.
And as you said, there seemed to be great camaraderie and warmth.
There really was, yes.
The whole day oozed it.
Yeah, there really was amongst all of them. And of course, Charles was with the woman of his dreams, so he was happy. Michael D was with the woman of his dreams, and he was meeting the woman of his future dreams. So, I mean, you know, it all worked out really well.
Yeah, what about the royal outfits? Did they pass?
Passed muster, of course. I mean, they've had centuries of practice in this sort of thing. I mean, as I was saying to you earlier, John, the hat situation. You watch the Queen. She usually wears some sort of plant pot shaped effort with a small rim that can't take off like a flying saucer. And I noticed the ambassador's wife had cottoned onto that as well. Those sort of hats, I mean, the fascinators and big brims are fabulous on a calm day, but otherwise they're a bit of a nightmare.
You should do without them then. You should get rid of them then if the forecast says wind.
If the forecast says wind, pull on a plant pot.
That's straightforward advice from Tina. And then the banquet last night, wasn't it marvellous? First of all, eavesdropping on the various conversations that were taking place before the Queen.
Yeah, I'll tell
and
you
the
what,
President arrived.
What I did think was odd was at the very beginning of the banquet, of course, I was watching the television and everybody just sort of standing around. Now, they couldn't sit on their chairs because in order for that table to be laid, it takes 2 days to lay the table for a royal event. And an interesting point, the footmen climb on top of the table in socks with croquet mallets, covered in soft material and polish, and they walk up and down that table endlessly to polish it, which I thought was fascinating. Anyway, then they have to lay each place setting with a ruler, and it must be to the centimetre. And then before the dinner happens, the Queen comes in to inspect
that
everything.
Bit, though, can we take that seriously?
Yeah.
Do we really imagine that she actually walks the length of that table?
I'd say she probably does. I think she probably does. Yeah, I think she might be a bit of a control freak deep down under that small exterior.
Oh, I don't think so. But imagine, I just can't imagine her coming into the hall, the banqueting hall, and just walking up and down.
I know,
saying,
you'd think she'd delegate.
That fork there is not in the right position.
No, she just likes to have an overall look. She'd hate to turn up, at the last minute and find something was awry. She
liked the flowers. Didn't like the flowers. Were
there
any flowers there?
Yeah, there were 23 flower arrangements. 23 flowers. And they were brilliant because I noticed they were very high flower arrangements. So you weren't having to duck round them to see the person opposite you, which was great. I was very interested to see Martin McGuinness having a chat at the beginning with Enda Kenny and David Cameron.
Yes.
They were having a chat. The thing, as I say, that sort of amazed me was there wasn't a sort of an ante room where they were all sipping sherry. They all just had to stand around at the back of the chairs, not touch anything until the royal procession arrived.
And then they were allowed to sit down.
Then they were allowed to sit
and
down.
And I spotted Daniel Day-Lewis. In fact, I felt sorry for him because he was mooching around for a while and nobody was talking to him.
I tell you something, he looked hot last night. I mean, I've seen him in films, but in just seeing him on a night out with he looked really great. Gary Hines of the Druid Theatre was there. I mean, she's brilliant. She now lives down the road from Daniel Day-Lewis on Circular Road in Dangan. Oh. And I have a very dear friend who lives there as well, who's also a neighbour. He's blind now, Bernard Murphy. But he, they're all neighbours together. And it's a lovely, very small area just outside the city. Uh-huh. So, Judi Dench, who I love. She's great. And, of course, Louise Kennedy, Mary McAleese and her husband, Martin.
Pat Rabbit was there, I saw. Our own Director General, Noel Curran, was there.
But no sign of Tony Blair, and nobody knew whether he'd been invited or not.
And that was a big talking point as well.
It was, I'd say. Yeah, where
given,
was
given
it?
His central role in the... Now, it may well be that he had another occasion, another event.
I know, but we knew where Mary Robinson was. She's in Rwanda.
So where was Tony Blair?
If any of your listeners can let us
where,
know...
where is Tony? Where is Tony gone?
Yeah.
But no, they had to all stand and wait until the royal procession. And it was lovely. And you were making the point as well earlier about the way, obviously, the president had to walk in with the Queen and they were all of a similar size. And then Sabina came in with Prince Philip and they were of a similar size. And I can't remember the rest.
Princess Anne was there.
That's right. Yeah.
Princess Michael of Kent, who you never hear about. She went through bad time for a while. But anyway, she was in the lineup at the end of the day and her husband. They were all there.
Yeah, and it all seems so natural, didn't it? And the Queen.
Did.
I thought the Queen's speech was very down to earth. I thought Michael D's speech was a little bit sort of, I don't know, more intellectual.
That's the man, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I did feel sorry for the Queen. She clearly had a cold.
Sniffles.
And she was having to sniff rather than get a hanky out. And I really felt, because you know that moment when you think it's going
sneeze.
To, yes.
No, we did have sympathy for her there. And she, as I said, she showed an ability to deliver a one-liner or two.
Jumping from a helicopter.
I'm just wondering now, apparently there was an insight into this on the documentary on Monday, which was a documentary which focused on the Queen's visit and all the etiquette and protocol. But apparently they have their own condiments.
Oh, I'd say they'd need to, I mean, in case they're going to be poisoned.
Well, yes, no, not only that, but you don't want to have the, you know, the very unsightly.
No, the old plastic salt and pepper.
Reaching across, can I have the, is it okay, Elizabeth, can I have the salt there?
So, yes,
No, you have your own there.
But I noticed an interesting thing as well. During every toast, she was clearly drinking water.
Yes.
Everybody else was on wine. But at each toast, she lifted the glass, but never once did it go near her lips.
I see.
I take it that is to do with her lipstick rather than not meaning it. It's like not saying the words during your confirmation about never drinking.
I
don't know why she didn't knock back the water, but I think it probably is just to do with makeup and lipstick.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I would say
so. Even though the cameras were going to leave shortly after.
Yeah. Yes.
But anyway, it was wonderful. It was just wonderful to behold. And because it seems so normal now, because relations are so warm, you know, you sort of wake up this morning and say, God, did that really happen? And the Irish National Anthem being played.
Yes. Yes. And the fact that Martin McGuinness was there. And I know so many people will be upset about that. And quite rightly so, because of what's gone on in the past. But every era, you got to move forward, because if you don't, you're in big trouble.
Sure. Plenty of text in. I'm so proud of Michael D, especially his unique turn of phrase. A listener in Cork says, both my wife and myself found yesterday surprisingly emotional. We're so impressed with the speeches of our president, so elegant, intelligent and considered. The man embodies the best examples of our cultural heritage. My wife and myself are in our early 40s, a different generation to our president, but feel the full sense of occasion. Pat in Galway says, maybe ask her what she thought of the gift. Yes, what was it, a blanket for the Irish Wolfhound that the president gave to the Queen?
Well, I'm a great dog lover. I've got three of them. Yes,
do
why
they have
not
their
give
own,
a
Do they
blanket?
Have their own blankets? Yeah, they have their own blankets, do they?
They have, and half of mine as well.
Yes.
As well.
And a texter agreeing with you, Tina, saying Sabina looked great, but skirt a little too short for comfort.
I thought so. I did think so. And I'm not knocking the lady. She looks brilliant and everything. But just, you got to go.
With a bit of Bernese now and again.
You're a man.
And Pat, yes, indeed. Patrick in Dublin says, as an ex-British soldier whose father was taken prisoner of war in World War I, he served in the RAF in World War II. The speech and bearing of the president and his wife are an immense source of pride to me. And I think he speaks for a lot of people.
He speaks for everyone with a brain this morning.
Yeah. Now,
yes.
You're going to continue doing your observing, aren't you, over the next 24, 48 hours?
I am, yes.
Okay,
yes.
By the way, a word about Joan Bergen, because she is there on duty in London. She is more or less managing Sabina's wardrobe.
She is. And, you know, the thing is, with she's been wonderful. She's picked out all of Sabina's wardrobe over the last 3 years. Now, the Louise Kennedy dresses, all of them were straight off the rack, which is amazing. Her evening dress, gown last night, was peacock blue, covered in crystals to sort of represent the Connemara landscape. She's done a fantastic job of picking everything. Helen McAlinden, who's a personal favourite of mine, she did the outfit that Sabina travelled over in. Again, a tad short, as I say, for alighting from the aircraft. But and also, I couldn't really tell the colour of that outfit. I knew the hat was green with the feathers, but I wasn't too sure about the actual colour, whether it was supposed to be green or a browny grey colour.
I see.
So you've always got to take into consideration television and
what it does to the colours.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tina, keep an eye on keep an eye on proceedings over the next 24 and 48 hours for us. Just a last text before you go. Where were Ahern and Blair, the architects of the peace process, both now out of favour for different reasons? Just shows how the turning of the wheels inevitably grinds all political careers to dust. There you are.
Mm.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder, well, I presume if the former Taoiseach got an invite, he would have gone. And it's interesting. Can we find out, did Tony Blair get an invitation?
Yes,
yeah,
I wonder.
Go out there and give him a ring and see how he's fixed. Anyway, Tina Camarianis, thank you as always. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, I think.
Thank you so much. Yes. I'll see you in the morning,
take
John.
Care of yourself, Tina. And our competition, now, don't forget, Brooks and ourselves are giving you the opportunity to deck your garden out in style with a €1,000 Brooks voucher to spend on new decking, fencing, patio, or whatever you wish. Here's another clue to the name of a person, place, or thing. And remember, the name is linked in some way to a plant, flower, or landscape. So clue number two, if you're listening, part of this name can be found in Ireland's tallest native tree. Part of this name can be found in Ireland's tallest native tree. It is a person, a place, or a thing. Text your answer and name to 51551. Back in a moment.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.